Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrew.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lake.
We are Hebrew.
Hello, my sister.
Hallelujah. Greetings and shalom. Welcome to another show. All praise be to the Most High Yah, who has once again given us life, strength, health, and all our being is able to uplift his holy name, bringing us together in common unity on this show and even in our homes. I'm thankful for all the things that he's done for me, and he knows it. Thank you for tuning in. I'm your host. I'm Ashley, Sister Ashley, some say, and Mother Jennifer's with me tonight there in Georgia. Bless you again, Mother Jennifer. Let's get a sound check and hear your voice.
Hallelujah. Shalom and blessings, Sister Ashley. Blessings to the daughters of Zion. It's a wonderful opportunity to be here with you all once again for another episode of Sister to Sister. I pray everyone can hear me. I can hear you well, Sister Ashley, and it looks like we've got tens rolling in the chat room, and we can go forward whenever you're ready.
Hey, hallelujah. Less than 7 months to the Passover. I still do the countdown because before long, it's 3, 2, 1, you know, and we're there. So I hope that you are all able to spend some quality time with the Father, with your families. Hallelujah. set some goals, you know, for this season and really attain them and reach them. I got to talk to Sister India this week. That was nice. And I even got to talk with Mother Chris. That was really nice. I got to listen to Straightway Kansas City's Children's Warfare Prayers. It was October 31st. They're praying protection for the ministry and many other things, specifically against Halloween. And, yeah, I enjoyed it. And then, of course, one of my youngest sons last night wanted to listen again. So that was really nice to hear him request that. We've been, our brother's been shooting deer. It is bow season. And so they've been shooting with bows, bow and arrows. So we are blessed. We processed 5 deer just before the show. Maybe 3 yesterday. Maybe how many, Sakina? Put it in the chat. How many overall just in bow season? I know it's about to become rifle and time to step it up, but that's been nice. I've been in class, you know, schooling, and so tonight was my first time to get to help. So I was blessed to be able to be with the sisters tonight, and they were still processing when I left for the show. And physical education class, our PE, has moved to a little bit later date with the cold weather that is set in. It is November already. Hallelujah. We got a good conversation for you tonight, Mother Jennifer and I, and as always, I hope that you get something out of it for yourself that you can apply, that can make you a better version of you. Mother Jennifer, would you like to introduce tonight's show, or do you have any acknowledgments? 14.
Yes, ma'am. 14 deer total. I wanted to put that out there. She put it in chat room, 14 deer total, so that is awesome. But I wanted to talk about pretty much how the show came about. There is a group that was started on Marco Polo, and it is led by Pastor Rufus, and it's called Dads for Daughters. And, you know, he was telling me that this group is just a really good group for the brothers, and how brothers are just being healed and brothers are being restored, and there's just so much going on. He's speaking so many great things about this group, and I couldn't help but to think, we were having this conversation when we were on our way to North Carolina, I couldn't help but to think, and I said, you know, the women better get ready. The women better make sure that they are ready and that they are truly wanting to fall in line, because the men are being strengthened, and with the men being strengthened, it's going to put pressure on the women. So I've been thinking about that ever since the conversation that we've had about this particular group. And I just truly do pray, women, that we are all doing something truly wonderful in our brothers and the men. And as the men get stronger, then the women will fall into their roles the way that they need to. The women will exhibit more humility. The women will exhibit more femininity. And so I just pray that the women are truly ready for the pressure, the holy pressure that Yah is about to bring. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Well said. And that's the build-up for the show, really. That's how our conversation got started. That's the point to kick it off. So let's go there. Do you want to play the video?
Yes, ma'am. I will play the video.
I'm going to try not to be long with this, but, you know, we got this new group called Dads for Daughters, and a lot of the brethren on this group are really getting a true opportunity to see who they are as individuals. And a lot of times, as you go through this spiritual transformation, you get to really have your train wreck and see how jacked up of a man that you are. But one of the things I'm very, very excited about is I'm seeing a whole bunch of men finally see who they are spiritually. They're recognizing and realizing the hurts, the ills, the pains, the bitterness, the angers, the fears, all this stuff that has hindered them as being dads and hindered them as being brothers and hindered them as being husbands. They're starting to see it. But the best thing about it is they're starting to do something about it. I'm hearing incredible testimonies about how deliverance is going forward. And man, because again, how can you repent for something when you don't really believe you've done anything wrong? You don't see the error in your way. And now they're starting to be able to see the error in their ways as dads, errors in their ways as husbands, errors in their ways as brothers. because you can be a simp as a dad and or as a husband, and even as a dad, you can be a simp. You can be an enabler as a brother, an enabler as an uncle, an enabler as a father. You know what I mean? These are traits that women have gotten used to over the years in a lot of these men. And see, what we need now is for these women to make sure that they are matching these brothers spiritually when they see this transformation starting to take place. See, women have a responsibility to be meek and quiet in spirit and humble and submissive and obedient. And those are the things that are attractive to a man. Those are the things that are supportive to a man. Those are the things that motivate and inspire men to do what they do. So you got a lot of men that are transitioning spiritually now. They're getting to a point. Remember how the disciples always talked about once you are fully converted, some of these men are finally getting on that road to where they're about to be fully converted spiritually. First that which is natural, then that which is spiritual. So now the women, they're going to have to be able to see that. And instead of matching all that positive, good spiritual energy that these men are having in their transition and their transformation to being truly new creatures, right, they don't need to get resistance. They don't need to get rebellion. They don't need to get the disobedience. They don't need kickback. You know what I mean? What they need is for the wives to see that stuff and start to support them in this thing and start to take away anything that could be hindering them from growing spiritually. Stumbling blocks that have been laid along the line. And it's going to be uncomfortable for a lot of the women because they're used to being coddled and they're used to being enabled and they're used to being able to manipulate their men. But when a man moves from being a simp to being a king, he's not going to be manipulated. When a man stops enabling the women in his life, like the wives or the nieces or the daughters in his life, the women can't have a negative reaction to that and get mad because it's like, well, you know, he ain't doing the things that he used to do for me. No, because he's a man now and he's understanding these spiritual things that are going on. You know what I'm saying? So that's the type of things that the women have to show up and do. They have to show up and do these types of things for these men. Match them spiritually and support them. Support them by being obedient, submissive, meek and humble and quiet. And taking away any level of stumbling blocks that would hinder them. And then making sure they get the deliverance they need themselves. Making sure that they become vulnerable and expose themselves to Yah so they can get the deliverance and get healed. And they can be made whole just like their men are being made whole. The men don't need to get resistance from them or rebellion or disobedience. They need to get support. They need to get the love. Like it speaks about in 1 Corinthians 13. That's what they need. They don't need to be reminded of who they were when they're nothing like it anymore. They might have been that man yesterday, but because they got that revelation now and it's been revealed to them, now they're different, and they need to be treated as such. Same way you would want if you truly repented in your heart. You don't want to be reminded of what was in the past, even if the past was yesterday. You don't want to be reminded of that because your mindset is different and you're moving forward. So we have to meet that with the same level of spiritual energy. Hope that makes sense. Shalom.
Hallelujah. Sister Ashley?
I had to ponder a lot of things, Mother Jennifer, and I would love to, I guess, just hear how you received this video, you know, and I know, you know, you shared the comment that you said along your journey going to North Carolina and just how, you know, you hope that the women are ready, but yeah, I just want to hear your voice first. That's your husband, that's your pastor, so yeah, your words mean a lot, so go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. The first thing that I think about is the fact that women, you know, one thing that Pastor Rufus said was how women are used to seeing their men in this particular weakened state. So as they're being built up, as they're being strengthened, the woman may not recognize him at all. She may be fearful of the new him, the strong him, you know, the strengthened man. She may be fearful of that. She's fearful of the fact that she's losing the control that she had that she never should have had. And like Pastor Rufus was saying, you know, he does not need to have resistance. He does not need to see rebellion in you. He needs you to match that same energy given. He needs you to match that same intensity when he's going towards deliverance, when he's actually seeking the Father in righteousness. You should be as well. So as he's being transparent, you need to be transparent. You know, he's not doing anything that he wouldn't require of you. So women actually need to follow. And it just really rings in my mind that I just pray that the women are ready. Don't get used to seeing your man in a weakened state, and then when he's strengthened, you're offended. Sister Ashley?
I enjoyed hearing match your husband. He said that match your husband. That's good to remember. You know, seeing my husband's humility and meekness, but yet his straight talk and his forwardness and his no-nonsense when it comes to hearing me or listening to me, that's been a strength, you know, that he's had. And, of course, increased in strength, you know, all the years of our marriage. And I pondered that, you know, hearing his video, because he used the word enabler. And maybe I've heard that use of that word before. Maybe I have, but I've never really keyed in on it. Maybe Pastor Rufus has used that word a lot, and I haven't keyed in on it. This time I did. And so enabler being a, concretely, a safety net, you know, an enabler is a safety net, someone who would stop another's growth, which a husband can do, by stopping the woman from feeling, from going through something, right? And through her manipulation, of course, but also encouraging her self-destructive behavior. Of course, that's something they understand more than we do, but we can do it, of course, for our children, because we can be a safety net for our children's feelings and not want them to feel a certain way, right, and kind of enable them. So I like that word, and I just heard the video within the last hour or two, so it's something that I want to hear again and just think on some more. So it is fairly new to my mind, just like it is to each of you tonight, and my first initial, when I heard the video and I said, okay, we're gonna do this show off of Mother Jennifer's leading, off of Pastor's video, I'm like, the very first phrase that hits my mind is emotional stability. You know, that's something that we strive for, we should be, you know, as a weaker vessel, we strive for emotional stability. And so then I ask myself, if I'm going to turn that into a show, if I'm going to speak about emotional stability, then how am I going to connect with the listening audience? How would I think, like each of you, what would you ask about it? You know, what is emotional stability? How do you get it, perhaps? That would be your questions. And so that's kind of where my mind went, Mother Jennifer. Would you like to say anything else before I just speak about that for a moment?
I think that's a perfect way to go, Sister Ashley. I don't have anything else to add.
Hallelujah. In order to come up higher and to meet our husbands in their spiritual energy, that's what he said. At the same time, matching, you know, like you used Pastor Dow as an example, or someone that you know has been put before you as a righteous example, you know, wanting to match that, being provoked to righteousness, not to compare yourselves amongst yourselves and be unwise, but to be provoked, you know, and to become a better version of yourself. Emotional stability is very, very key to strengthening your husband and being a great helpmeet and getting your emotions stable is a journey. There's a lot of confusion that the enemy introduces about emotions. When you hear the men speak so strongly and sternly about your feelings not being facts and your feelings not being they're not being swayed by them, you know. And so as you're the ones, we are the ones feeling these certain things all throughout the day, week, month, or year, we have to get strong enough to deal with those feelings, right? And so what you are, let's say, what Satan can do, and the confusion that I mean is Satan can confuse what you're supposed to feel with what you're supposed to think. And so if you go, can I feel that? Is that okay to feel that? And I just push that to the side. Is it okay to think that? And I just push that to the back of my mind. Like, no, that's not okay to think, right? And that's actually called suppression. Because you're suppressing something that is in your wicked heart. You know, something that's coming up to the surface of who you are. So that you would purge yourself of it. So suppression is a part of emotional stability. You might want to suppress your emotions for today until you get to your prayer closet tonight. That's healthy. You want to be strong enough emotionally and in your maturity not to perhaps affect the crowd or your family with how or who you are, right, or what you're going through. But maybe you have to feel how you feel right now and step away. Maybe you do that too. So there's a suppression that can happen that's just for a moment, but then there's the very unhealthy don't ever feel, don't ever express, and don't ever ask any questions side of suppression. And that's when it gets negative, where you go, I don't want to feel again. I'm not going to be hurt again. I'm not going to express this ever, right? And then it just stays in you and boils up inside of you. Or I'm not going to ask any questions because I don't want him to know or her to know. I don't want to say this thing that I'm guilty of. I don't want to say that I've been doing this or thinking this, right? And that suppression is very negative and detrimental to your health as well. And then there's the traumatic response that literally happens in the flesh. And that women, a lot of women are very familiar with what I'm about to say. Maybe they can't say it this way, but they understand. There's a detachment that happens emotionally. There's a numbness. There's a disassociation without care or feeling and a complete locked, frozen state. And that's from perhaps molestations and traumas, lots of misguided misunderstandings in your thoughts, you know, lots of confusion, lots of mind control, you know, just kind of like a ball, a network of emotional suppression for so long, you know, or one huge traumatic experience. So that seems really like, that seems like a lot, really weighty. But I said to myself, if I'm going to, you know, introduce that suppression and talk a little bit about feelings at all, I'm like, where's that at in the word, Father? You know, where can I, how can I relate to the sisters that are listening through the word about how we feel, you know? And the only thing that I could think of in that moment was just the flesh. And so I think if we just conversate a little bit tonight about the flesh, then perhaps you'll understand a little bit more about what's inside of you warring against the spirit of Yah. And so, yeah, that's what I want to stay on for a moment. Mother Jennifer, you have some thoughts?
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to say that, you know, really learning how to be emotionally stable, not being led by your emotions, is such a benefit to your husband, because when he knows that you are emotionally stable, then he doesn't have to worry himself. Not saying that he would worry, but he doesn't have to concern himself about you falling apart on a daily basis and him having to piece you back together. He doesn't have to concern himself about your double-mindedness, like, okay, what mind am I going to be dealing with today? He can actually fully focus on his healing, his relationship with Yah. He can fully focus on the things that he knows he needs to get done if you are emotionally stable. You're telling him that I am fully capable of being your helpmeet. I'm fully capable to be here to help you the way that I was created to do. And I'm not saying that you're not going to have things that, you know, need to be healed. I'm not saying that you're going to have things that need to be addressed. I'm not saying that. But the response that Sister Ashley is talking about, the balance that is needed, is truly what is going to be your help. You know, learning how to hold in whatever you've got going on until you can actually get with Yah and allow Yah to deal with you. But so many times, women can react out of the traumatic response, you know, the disassociation. I'm just going to shut down because this is just what I've learned. Or even shutting down out of fear, You know, I'm fearful, so I'm just not going to say anything at all. But the emotion has to be right. And we talked about when you know that emotionally there's something that's not right and you're being tempted to give a response, a verbal response, because you know something in your heart is not quite right. It is best to pause in that moment. It amazes me how many times women don't take that opportunity to pause. And, you know, I think that we think, Sister Ashley, that when we say things or do things, it only affects the now, but that's not true. We don't think about how it's going to affect tomorrow. We don't think about how it's going to affect next month or maybe even a year from now. You know, yes, you'll be forgiven, but there's a consequence that's attached to that. So we have to really be sober in mind before we just start speaking and rattling off our emotions. We've got to really get our emotions in check and say, okay, first of all, is this even from Yah? And if it's not, then why am I even fooling with this? Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Lots to think on. A verse was shared in the chat room that says, Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bring forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Speaking of, and as she put, suppression. You know, that's a good verse. I wanted to, you know, right before the show, right before the music came on, I was thinking about the flesh. And I'm thinking about his match your husband statement. And I'm thinking about Genesis 2, they shall be one flesh, right? Obviously not one skin, but they shall be one flesh when the husband leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife. They shall be one, right? And Paul even echoed that when he said that when one is joined to a harlot, he shall also be one flesh. So he was coming from the law. You know, you join yourself to a harlot, you'll be one flesh. There's a oneness, you know, there. And that's pretty scary. It was scary for me when I, in my betrothal years, you know, when I was courting Deacon and he was brother at the time, and only knowing him from a betrothal standpoint, that's one thing, you know. But knowing someone after their own heart and being married is another, which I did not know. And so in that betrothal time period and not knowing his flesh, it was scary to me to consider that I would become one with someone. Now, moving on, though, we know the story when the earth was destroyed because all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. All flesh, right? All flesh. And eight souls had made it out because there was a set apartness in the hearts of those eight. Now, those eight were still subject to the same flesh, right? Temptations or carnality that the rest of the earth had expressed their heart towards, but there was something different. And you know, there was a powerful demonic influence over the earth, just like there is now, same thing. And it's a war for souls. So when you consider how serious and the severity of what we do in our flesh, how it really does have eternal dividends. David said his flesh longed for the Father. So even in his flesh, he had submitted his flesh enough that he would long after the Father, because you know the desires of the flesh, right? They long for other things. The carnal flesh longs for everything but the Father. But you can submit yourself and get a maturity about yourself for such a long time that you would long for the Father above all things, above all fleshly desires, even your addictions and foods. You know, you can long for the Father. He said, David said, my flesh and my heart fails me, but you're my strength. So he said, my flesh fails me, right? And our flesh does fail us. You know, a lot of who we want to be, we can't be. A lot of what we're trying to do, we can't do. That's that explanation that Paul has with the thing that I hate, I do. You know, and the thing that I want not, I would. You know, that whole explanation. But also David can say, my flesh trembles for the fear of Yah. I'm afraid of his judgment. And so that confession, my flesh trembles for fear of Yah, like, do you have that? Can you say that? You know, that's a good self-check when we do our resume. you know, our heavenly resume. Can I tremble at the word, you know? Can I tremble at the Father and his fear and my fear of righteous judgment, you know? A long time ago, this stuck with me. I actually shared it with somebody. I was standing in line. I came out of Pastor Corey's prayer. I'm going to tell this story and jump back to you, Mother Jennifer. I came out of Pastor Corey's, you know, prayer early morning for Feast of Tabernacles, and I was standing in line, and we were talking, you know, specifically about prayer and the humility that it brings. And I shared an instance years ago that Pastor Dow had talked about, and he said, I can tell, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, right, but he said, I can tell who prays and who doesn't pray. And he said, because some of you so-called pray or come out of prayer, but you're still too haughty, you're still too frustrated, still too in the flesh, right? He said, when you are being intimate or in a desperate situation and you're going to someone for help, which in this prayer state of mind, you're going to the Father. And when you go to the Father desperately and you're laid at his feet in humility, you can't rise up frustrated and in haughtiness and in your prides, right? You're going to come out of prayer, and from that intimate, desperate moment with the Creator, you're going to come out low and humble, a field ready to receive, you know? And so our nature tells on us how much time we spend with the Father and how much we love him and dedicate our lives to him. And our own flesh tells on us, you know, because we yield to it. If we keep ourselves walking in the Spirit, then we won't yield to the flesh. Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, I wanted to, there's a definition in the chat room of the word treasure, and I wanted to go back to Luke 6:45. It says, you read it earlier, but it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So when you look at the word treasure, it says the place in which good and precious things are collected and laid up, a casket, coffin, or other receptacle in which valuables are kept, a treasury or storehouse, repository, things that are collected, is collected treasures. And, you know, when you really think about that, Yah has treasures and the devil has treasures. So what type of treasure are you actually laying up within your heart, within yourself? You know, emotionally, what type of emotional treasures are you holding on to? Are you holding on to love, joy, and peace, or are you holding on to what happened yesterday or what happened last year or what happened 27 years ago? So think about that. You know, remember that the devil likes to imitate everything that Yah does. So if Yah has treasures, of course, the devil does too. But which one are you actually laying up? Sister Ashley?
Good words. Letting go actually needs to be my nature. You know, letting go needs to be a part of my nature, period. Letting go instantly and as swiftly and quickly as possible. Letting it go. No matter who said what and who did what and I did and she and he and that and this. And like, letting go needs to be the righteous, godly character that will straighten my path, you know. The word says, don't let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. Still keying in on the word flesh, knowing that out of the abundance of the heart, my mouth is going to say what's in me. So knowing that about myself, others have to endure that. Others have to, and in this instance, I'm saying that's okay. Is it okay that someone else endure it? No, but is it word? Yes, because love endures. So sorry, you got to endure me and endure my flesh as Yah perfects this flesh. Same for each of you, right? So if you look at it like the Father's work, you know, as the potter amongst us all, that each person being grinded, molded, each person, you can let go because he's doing a work in her too, in him too, you know. And Jeremiah said, cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. And most certainly, you know, that pride in our flesh and haughtiness in our flesh is building its strength in the flesh, you know, like in an opinion, in a belief, just because Yah called me, I'm the shit. No, actually, not at all, you know. So not making your flesh your strength. Jeremiah 17:5, that's the verse. Cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, makes flesh his strength. That means his heart departs from his Yah. When your flesh becomes your strength, the things that you understand, you comprehend, not putting him into, you know, trust in Yah with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, not putting him into your ways, but lean into your own flesh. I studied, I did, I made, I baked, I did this, right? All the eyes, I got deliverance. What'd he do? Where's he at? You know, that's a fleshly way. It's an emotional stability that we need to be able to speak the things of Yah. You had mentioned earlier, like, what was it about? Basically, when you were communicating about how we are emotionally with our husbands, I know that your husband knows you. Like, he knows you. My husband knows me, you know. And for those of you who aren't naturally married, your creator knows you. Like, he knows you through and through. He's your husband. And he knows all of our nonsense, right? There's a humility to that. There's an embarrassment, maybe even a shame or whatever pride in you might express. But at the same time, at least when it comes to our righteous men, be balanced in representing yourself and your character towards your own husband. Be balanced in representing Christ in speaking of your own conditions and what you're going through, the things that you bring before him, because you create your own stability to him and his mind. I don't mean sway him, right? Because we know that's witchcraft, which we're guilty of. But when you're speaking to our husbands and we're bringing forth the need, if I'm going to, or if you're a daughter and you're going to your father or you're going to your mother, you know, you're being who you are, but you're also, you want to get strong enough to put Yah into your circumstance, that the low estate that the Most High is bringing you and what you're going through, that you're still speaking of him, right? Because you can represent the Father and be a strength in your husband's mind in those moments to where his meditations and his prayers for you are built on that same strength and not him going away, as Elder S said, as a simp or being an enabler or swayed, you know, by us. Hallelujah, Mother Jennifer.
And I think, Sister Ashley, as the men are truly growing and the men are being healed, the women need to really take the time to repent. You know you've been that woman who's been enabled by your husband, you need to repent. You need to repent for benefiting from that. You need to repent from causing him to be manipulated, you know, being the number one manipulator in his life. You need to repent for that. As he's repenting, you need to be repenting too. And it really is about overcoming your own will. We make things difficult. We make things tough. We make things hard. You know, we say, oh, I've been this way for however many years. But it really is just as easy as just deciding to follow the will of Yah, changing your mind. You know, like Pastor Dow said, how easy is it to just change your mind? It's just like that. And it really is true. You can just decide to go the righteous way. And your husband should be able to see growth in you. He shouldn't see the same woman that he saw a year ago or even a month ago. He should always be able to see growth in you. And it's not something that has to be spoken. It's by your conversation. Just like the word talks about, if you have an unbelieving husband, that your conversation should lead him. Well, your conversation should show your growth. Even with a believing husband, your conversation, your lifestyle should show your level of growth. Sister Ashley?
And our husbands are forgiving, so they grow with us. That's what's very beautiful about a man's character. It's not tied to his emotions. He looks for the best in you. You know, he looks for the best in his family. And so he doesn't have the negative, you know, more bitter tendency to think like women do. Zechariah said, be silent, all flesh, for the Holy One is raised up. I like that verse because it tells you, be silent, all flesh, be silent. You know, and so when you have things raging inside you and in your mind, you know, go sit with the Father, go talk to the Father, go tell him how silent you aren't, right? But the Holy One is the only one to be raised up. He's the only one to be exalted, the only one to be lifted up. You know, as he had said to Job, are you justified in your anger? Is any of us justified in our feeling? Like, is it really worth shaking heaven and earth about? Or shall we just repent, you know? And the beautiful thing is that no flesh is going to glory in his presence, no matter how much we put on a facade or a show down here now. We are not going to glory in his presence. He poured his spirit out upon all flesh. Keying in on the word flesh again. He poured his spirit out on all flesh. I appreciate that, Father. Thank you for pouring your spirit out on my flesh so that your spirit can rule my flesh. Right? Because no one else could have ruled it, nor could anyone else have ruled yours, but the Spirit. And the Spirit, by his Spirit, the word says that we mortify the deeds of the flesh. And so, again, I'm really talking about emotional stability, because through mortifying the deeds of the flesh, you will become more stable. And it is a process of time, you know. Because literally, from 1 hour to the next, the feelings change. You know, you can wake up great, get angry in an hour. You can wake up angry and be, I don't know, happy and worshiping in an hour. Whatever your flesh wants you to do, right? And so you have to mortify the deeds of the flesh, catch the patterns of the flesh. And really, the law, the word says that the law was weak. When you think about that, you go, okay, the law, how is the law weak, right? It's the most righteous, most holy set of rules and commandments like there's ever been over all the earth. This is what we're supposed to listen. How's it weak? It was made weak because of flesh. That's what Paul said. It was made weak. All these rules and the things that we should be doing was made weak because you're weak. Right? And you couldn't do it. So since you are weak in the flesh, Yah sent his son in the likeness of your flesh, the same sinful flesh, and condemns that flesh. Wow. And condemns that sin. Wow. So that we would no longer walk after our flesh or have a mind of the flesh, because carnally minded is death. And the carnal mind that we have, all of us have, is not subject to Yah. It does not want to bend its will to Yah. It's enmity, the word says. So those in the flesh can't please Yah. We can't please Yah in our flesh. You can't, I can't, we can't, it don't matter. Who you are, what your title is, what you think you are, what you did, what you know, what job you had, how many years you've been with the Father, what land you live on, what community, how much money you brought there, what car you drive. No, like, there is no flesh that can please Yah. That does not bring him glory, you know. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer.
Sister Ashley, I remember years ago, maybe about 5 years ago, I remember we talked about this, something similar on one of the sister-to-sister broadcasts, but we talked about prayer and how we were going to pray together as women, and our prayer would be that the men would be strengthened. And I don't know if you remember this or not, but we prayed that Yah would truly strengthen the men, that he would increase their discernment. And in that, we remember saying, okay, we're going to pray this prayer because we truly do want the men to be strengthened, because we need to grow, and we can't grow without them. And I remember us having a conversation, and we were like, well, we better be ready, because when Yah increases their discernment, they're going to truly be able to discern us like never before. And I remember some women were excited about doing that. Some women were excited about praying that. And some women were fearful. And some women are still here, and some women are not. But I definitely remember that. I remember Yah answering those prayers, because the men were definitely strengthened. And I believe that, you know, this is still part of that. The men are being strengthened even more. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Hey, let's hear a beautiful song from Straightway Indiana Goshen. We'll be right back. Let's bring some more good points after the show. Mother Jennifer, thank you for all your words tonight. Here we go. Be right back. Bless you. We're back from Sister Ashley. If you're just tuning in, and Mother Jennifer live tonight, you just never know who you're going to get on this show. Hallelujah. Always hiring. Y'all know that. Always taking emails, taking questions, and your feedback. I appreciate that. Mother Jennifer, any thoughts on the break?
No, Sister Ashley. Nothing yet. Nothing yet. Let's see if we got some emails in here.
All right. 1 Corinthians 7:1. Let me see why I thought of that. Having this promise, that's what I'm looking for. Is that 2 Corinthians 7:1? I was trying to find it. Having this promise. Basically, having this promise, what it is having this promise. What is the promise? That's what Paul is saying to everybody, right? Like if Pastor Dow was saying it to us, Pastor Rufus was saying it to us. Having this promise, what? Promise. This announcement, this information, this gospel, this enlightenment, you know, this understanding in your mind. Having this introduced into you, okay? With that in mind, what? Having this promise, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of Yah. And that's individual. So that's you meeting the requirement of that cleanse. His way, not your way. His pace, not your pace, right?
And we should be very thankful for the people in our life that are able to do that with us, for us, you know, be it our husbands, our communities, the women or whatever, whoever those people are. Let us cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh. Remember, no flesh will glory in his presence. No flesh will please Yah. Like, remember that, you know. And when I think about that, we would cleanse ourselves from that filthiness of the flesh and perfect ourselves in holiness and fear of the Yah, I think about perfecting holiness. It's like fulfilling the qualities of character of righteousness. So a fulfillment, like a continual increase, perfecting, right, the qualities of character of Yah's character in us, you know, and denying our flesh, continually denying our flesh. So if you still say, how do I do that? How do I cleanse? How do I perfect holiness? How? Then you need emotional maturity. You know, you need some emotional maturity. I can't say that I'm emotionally mature in all areas of my life, no. But I understand the process, you know, to the level that's been given to me, the measure that's been given to me, and I appreciate that. And so you're gonna want to study yourself, you know. And if you study yourself and you introspect yourself and you are continually in repentance and self-reflection, then you're going to know your enemy, because you're going to know his voice. And you're going to know how weak you are and how easily defeated you are by that enemy, you know, and it's a journey. Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, I think one thing that that we miss a lot is the perfecting holiness in the fear of Yah. The fear of Yah is everything. When you truly fear Yah, then that means that you fear disappointing him. You fear misrepresenting him. You fear taking on his name but not taking on his character. You know, you fear letting him down. And so the way that you truly perfect holiness is when you want to represent him properly. So I know that there are certain things that I cannot do at all. I the Holy Spirit will not allow me to get away with certain things at all. So perfecting holiness is making sure that you have the proper relationship with the Most High. When your relationship, when your foundation is truly strong, then everything else falls in line. You know, there are things that women can say that they struggle with. You know, I have these struggles and I just don't know how to overcome them. And a lot of them are very basic. A lot of them are very, very basic in the sense that when you truly learn how to fear Yah, then those things take care of themselves, because the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts you. He leads you. He guides you. He will tell you, okay, this is of me, this is not of me. I mean, it truly is just that simple. And you have to put your will down and just submit to him. But we make it so complicated. But if we truly, truly just had a strong foundation with him, a true foundation with him, then we would be cleansed and we would be perfected in holiness because we fear him. Sister Ashley?
Well said. I was thinking about how no one can give you the fear of Yah. Like, no one gave it to me. No one. No one gave me the fear of Yah. Like, that's not a surprise to hear, right? Because it all comes from him. It all comes from Yah. Now, obviously, I allow the truth to increase my fear or not. I allow the truth or the fear of Yah to motivate my conversation with my husband, for example, or my nature towards him. There's a joint agreement between, like Mother Jennifer just said, and I'm not getting away with that. Like, why isn't she getting away with that? Why does she have a high level of fear? Well, Yah matches you. You remember Pastor Rufus said that, you know, match your husband, right? Yah matches you with your spiritual energy. You know, he meets you where you are. You want to fear me? Then I'll give you something to fear. You know, and you dictate those, your level of fear by your foolishness of conversation. A lot of the times, what you engage in with your flesh, how far your flesh goes, how much your flesh rules over you, is going to leech and suck away your fear of Yah. Galatians 5:16, of course, has to come up when you talk about walking in the lust of the flesh, because it is the verse that says, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how do you walk in the Spirit, right? Well, continually denying your selfishness is one. You know, continually denying. The presence is there. The presence to be selfish is there. The presence to be frustrated is there. The presence to sleep in is there. Get up. You know, when you deny your way over a long period of time and you really start adapting the nature of your husband, your creator, or your earthly husband, you will have more emotional maturity, more emotional stability. So for your husband, for example, you're going to continually deny your selfishness associated with your husband. To prove your love to the Messiah, you deny yourself, right? So when does your husband become your savior? When is he your savior, right, throughout the day? When or how is your husband your savior? It's not only the good times when your way is satisfied, right? I absolutely love having my way. Are you kidding me? I live in the flesh, right? But when I live in the Spirit, then I can also absolutely love that someone else's will was met. So when does your husband become your savior? I thought about this question, and it's when you hate him that he becomes your savior. You know why I say that? When you hate your husband, that's when you're in your flesh, right? When there's a hate, a frustration, an agitation, a rolling of the eyes, a manipulation of the speech, a quarrel, an argument, a slander, something said out of your mouth, whatever the behavior may be, when you hate him, that's when he's your savior. It's easier to compute that in your understanding now, because that's when you're guilty, right? You're guilty of hating Christ when you can't or don't walk in the Spirit to love your husband as the Messiah. Mother Jennifer?
And a woman's love is shown through her ability to submit. You know, it's not that love is not this fuzzy feeling or anything like that. Love for women is shown through their submission. And Sister Ashley, you talked about the rolling of the eyes or, you know, whatever type of attitude you display. But it could just be inwardly. You don't even have to show anything on your face. You could be the quiet riot that Pastor Dow talks about a lot. So, again, a woman shows her love through her ability to submit to her man on the inside and on the outside. So you can have a head cover on. You can have a skirt on. You could look like the most humble. But if you've got all this chaos going on inside, Yah understands and he knows your heart. Sister Ashley.
So Galatians 5:16, right? This is how I would conclude this whole show, really. I don't know how long I may talk on Galatians 5:16, but this was my last meditation. The works of the flesh are these, right? That's what it says. A whole list of the works of the flesh are these. Of course, passed down through translation, there can be misunderstandings of the use of those words, right? So me looking at that verse and looking at that list and then communicating to each of you tonight, I want to be able to, you know, reach the minds, you know, and may the Father give the increase. So if it's the works of the flesh are these, adultery, right? Okay, wanting a man that's not your own. Wanting a God that bends to your will. That's adulterous, you know. Fornication and sexual immorality. Lust-filled thoughts, lust-filled actions, pleasure never satisfied, your hands always out for more gain, you know, idolatry and desires to drive you past contentment. Desires that drive you past contentment can make you idolatrous, to worship another idea, another way, another belief, another book, you know, desiring for someone to bow down to you. Can you admit that? You know, desiring for someone to listen to you, you know, desiring to be coddled in your emotional state, you know. And even though, like, we speak sometimes, you know, especially the men, but even the more so us, sometimes we speak sometimes from a place of strength, right? So if we speak as overcomers and we speak about these things, we're not speaking down to them as if they're not real or you don't feel them, because they're there. They're sins of the flesh. They're ways of the flesh. They're the works of the flesh. You have to purge these things out. It's not mentioned so that you would suppress it, like we talked about earlier in the show. Suppress it. Don't feel it. You know, feel so much that you don't know what to feel, so you just disassociate and get numb, right? No, it's these things. You have to let yourself feel it. I don't have anymore. I don't have the level of pride that I had that didn't let me feel. And I don't know if you know that about Satan. I don't know if you know that about your flesh, but pride won't let you feel natural affections. It won't let you feel what's naturally going on inside your own heart, the tenderness that you feel, the things that hurt you, right? Pride will cover it. You don't want to feel that, right? And that's leaning to the strength of your own flesh and not of Yah, because I don't mind letting myself feel something when I'm speaking to the Father about it, when it's not right, but I'm in confession. I don't have to come to confession already clean. Confession is cleansing through me confessing that I feel this, I think this, right? So I don't have the pride that covers that up anymore. So back to the works of the flesh. Or Mother Jennifer, do you have anything just with us hitting this list?
About pride, Sister Ashley, I wanted to say, you know, the purpose of pride, or what pride will tell you, is that it will protect you. That's what that spirit will tell you. I will protect you. And a lot of times we don't even realize that we have allowed pride to step in to the place where the Father should actually be. And we make this covenant with pride. And so we walk forward in this pride and we become hardened. And this is why our hearts become hardened, and you can't be broken, because you've made this covenant with pride. So, you know, we really have to pay attention to the things that you allow into your mind. It may not be something that you spoke out loud, but you've allowed pride to come in to protect you because you think that y'all won't. Mr. Ashley?
Well said. Back to the list, it says witchcraft. And, you know, of course, there's a lot of examples of that. But swaying your speech to get your results is witchcraft. Swaying your side of the story to get someone in front of you to believe your conversation, throwing someone else under the bus and not covering them in conversation, like, these things happen. The more that we can get to our conversation as sisters, stop the fluff. You know, stop the fluff in our speech. Get straight to the point. And, you know, my husband has said this so many times and taught me for so many years and been so enduring, even still now, you know, because of the innate nature of the flesh in me. Get to it. Say it. That's it. You know, there's nothing else. Say this, you know. And I think the way that we can get that way and the way that we can practice that is by doing it with one another. You know, it's not just in the moment with your husband that you need to stop the fluff and get straight to the point. No, you need to do that with your children. You need to speak that way with the sisters. You know, like, when you need something, ask what you need. Stop the explanation, you know. Ask for the need. You know, like the Father says, you ask amiss. You tie my hands, you ask amiss. Like, what is all this? You know? And so I think witchcraft, just putting that in perspective in our conversations and saying, man, really, our speech has been so swayed. We're swayed by the emotional expression on the face of the person in front of us. So we'll say something according to her eyebrows. You know, like, it's bogus. It is so satanic and demonic, and we have to understand those powers that rule our flesh. You know, not looking at someone else cross-eyed thinking they're doing it. No, like, how are you doing it? You know, how am I doing it? And so that's anything for a speech, Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. You know, when you look at Galatians 5, like Pastor Rufus says a lot, we read this Bible like a novel, and it's not meant to be read like a novel at all. And our speech has to match the speech that's in the Word. And when you look at these words, when you look at the works of the flesh, how many of us have truly just stopped and looked behind these words and in your repentance actually seen yourself? How many have repented for, or saying that, Father, I know that I have divided, I've brought division between you and my husband because I wanted to manipulate him so that he would carry out my will and not your will for us? Or even how many have even repented and said, I know that I've been a woman of strife, debate, and contention. You know, how many women have just stopped and looked at these words to say, okay, Father, where do I fit in these things right here? What do I need to repent for? Don't let me just go by these words and just skate by and, you know, just read them like they're regular words. Help me to see me in this so that I can walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Sister Ashley?
Next one on the list for Galatians 5 would be hatred and hostility comes to mind, you know, leading you to violence or violent thoughts of aggression, you know, leading us to attitudes that control our body movement, you know, refusals to actually follow your husband, follow him no matter what. Like, he goes down, go down with him, because then Yah picks him up and pick you up too. You know, like, refusals to follow, and waiting, you know, and refusing to wait and literally acting in the moment. You know, hatred's very, like, quick to act in the moment. Hatred doesn't understand love. Hatred doesn't understand love. So if hatred doesn't understand love, then it's going to receive any form of love like you're intruding into who I am. And you don't need to know that much about me. Saying this even towards a husband who knows you. He knows you and loves you, right? So your vulnerability towards him becomes embarrassment and pride when you feel like he's going to leave you because. He's going to reject you because. He's going to pick her over you because. He's going to, whatever the mind says, you know, like it doesn't understand love. I mean, real, true, genuine love. And I appreciate that even about Pastor Rufus's testimony at the beginning of the show, hearing him say that, hey, we got a good group, and this is what we're doing. You know, y'all changing men's lives. You know, that's absolutely wonderful to hear. That's worth rejoicing. Just because if I were him, them, her, whoever, I would want that for myself, right? And so we should all long for each other to be restored. And when you see a man restored, they're different kind of breed than they were when they weren't because of our society. You know, what Yah can do to them, who he can make them. So it's a beautiful thing. But back to hatred again, just hostility. You know, you would know within your own, the heart knows its own bitterness. You would know if you're hostile, you know. You would know if you're angry. Variance is another word that he uses, really like fighting, you know, really quick to fight, even in your mind, you know. Once you stop fighting in the outward, then you have to stop the fighting in your mind. And that takes some time. And it takes some love for y'all. It takes some sincere dedication, and you will be tested on it. And then there's wrath, right, which is in the list, but it's similar to hatred. Like, why do we got to have hatred and wrath? Well, wrath is like breathing hard, you know. It's like a intense passion to be fierce, an intense passion to express yourself because somebody's been wrong, you know, did me wrong, did her wrong, did this wrong, whatever. Like, it's an intense passion to express it. So you can hold hatred without having an outward passion to be fierce, you know. You can have a lot of built-up hatreds and it still not lead you in the outward, if that makes sense. So that's at least my thoughts. And then you see strife. Strife is in the list. Strife is emboldening you to speak without fear. And that's really terrifying. That doesn't mean it won't happen. We don't speak like an absolute. You know, I tell people all the time, you hear a high standard preached here, and you hear a high standard talked even on the show, So when the standard isn't met, the standard still doesn't change. It's still our measuring stick. Like, the Messiah is our measuring stick. So these works of the flesh are going to be manifest. Don't come here thinking that we're without the flesh. We're in the flesh. We're truly able to walk either flesh or spirit, right? And so know no man after the flesh. Know him after the spirit, because what he's bound by will keep you from loving him if you know him after the flesh. You know, but strife is definitely emboldening you to speak without fear, and it will truly, strife will make you forget your words without any repentance. You know, when you have real true strife and contention in you, you won't care what you say or think about what you say, because you really just have to get it out and get it off your chest and get it off your mind, and then you won't have any regrets or any memory of what you said, nothing reminding you, no ruach, you know, checking you. Because you're just given over to that mindset, that, and you have this mental list that when this, this, and this changes, then I'll, you know, stop doing whatever I'm doing. So, hallelujah, Mother Jennifer.
And one thing about strife, Sister Ashley, is, you know, to remember that strife is contention. And when you have a man who wants to remove himself from you, remove his presence from you, where he would rather dwell on a rooftop, you need to look into strife or contention within yourself. Sister Ashley.
Very good. Envy's on the list in Galatians 5. And I think what I know about envy, what I know about my own past envies, and what I know about helping people with envy is very unrecognizable to the flesh, but yet it's a work of the flesh. Go figure. It's very denied by the flesh. It can be a desire to be who you aren't. It can be a desire to have what you can't. It can be a desire to strive for attainable vain goals and set your affections on this earth. But it will have you looking at somebody completely misrepresented in your mind. And you will believe it to be your discernment. And that is scary. But envy's in the list of works of the flesh. Murder is in the works of the flesh. Murder is in the heart. It's in the heart. It's a commandment. And we can slay one another in our hearts, in our speech. When you walk away from talking to someone, dialoguing with someone, or when you meditate and think on somebody, somebody comes to your mind, whatever the circumstances, and you don't have tenderness towards them, you don't have understanding towards them, and you just want to come after them, you want to tear them down, you don't understand someone's circumstance, the odds they have that are stacked against them, the deck they got stacked against them, you know, because you aren't that way. You're different. You're above that. You would never do that. You would never say that. So you would murder them in that way. You have no compassion. That's, once again, so much haughtiness is displayed that way. It is just like perpetual amongst us that we would murder one another. Don't think that we're not breaking the commandments. We're given the commandments to remind us of what not to do, because what not to do is what happens from time to time. So they, here's what Galatians says, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom. Intoxication's in there, drunkenness, intoxication, given to addictions for pleasure, you know. So yielding your members to the Father is important, my strong opinion, you know. Yielding your members to the Father, yielding your flesh to walk into the Spirit. Mother Jennifer.
You know, this list, Sister Ashley, when you look at this list, you have to understand that these things occur when you don't learn how to truly control your emotions. And when I think the examples of true men, you know, true men deal with emotion. Even if I go to Pastor Rufus and I have something that I'm dealing with, he is going to separate emotion from fact. He is going to only listen to the facts. And he's going to give me the facts. He's not going to give me emotion. And that is one thing that can be so beneficial if women would pay attention to the way that that men are, you know, because true men only deal with facts. So if we could just truly learn how to overcome the emotions, then we can overcome the flesh. Sister Ashley.
Very good. beautiful, and because of his strength, you're able to be strong. And he gets a lot of credit for that. But that is the order of things. That is, they are what is molding us. The man is taking on the responsibility of us, right, as a helpmeet, to guide, lead, provide, and protect, you know, and keep their commitments. And part of that is through our great need of them. Honestly, our great need of them. We need their strength, not to enable us, right? Not to enable us. Galatians 5:24 says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. That means it's possible. That's a promise verse. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. You crucified your flesh, and you crucified your affection, and you crucified your lust. Okay, great. Now walk in the Spirit and move to the next thing that's in the way. You know, me and Mother Jennifer are marching towards our 20-year mark with the Father. You know, and what we don't got, we don't got. What we got, you know, to y'all be all the glory. The understanding we got, the strength we got in him, we got, you know. And y'all only knows all the needs that we still have. But I hope that you're able to hear from us as we march towards our 20-year mark. A few years shy, right? Less than five for me. As we march towards our 20-year mark, I remember a long time ago, y'all, once again, I'm paraphrasing because I don't recall and I don't like to misrepresent Pastor. And a lot of times if I don't retain exactly what Pastor Dow says, I'll speak it. But he had made a quote so many years ago. It was in that old tabernacle before the extension. So we had an old tabernacle, right? Then we extended onto it, and then we built the new tabernacle. So it's like a three-step process, and now that's the chow hall. But he had said, when you get to your 20 years, you better show it. You better show it. So right now, you know, you got your 5, you better show it. You got your 10, you better show it. It's all about him. We need to be producing the fruit that is in us, put in us. We need to represent our Messiah and not our flesh. There's nothing our flesh has ever done that needs to be glorified above somebody else's flesh. Right? Hallelujah. Well, that's it from me. Thanks for listening, everybody. Honestly, if you listened, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you to the chat room for always just staying active. And, gosh, is there anything else, Father? Sometimes an announcement or something that I missed? I don't think so. Bless you, and Mother Jennifer, end the show.
Sister Ashley, if you don't mind, I would like to end the show with the video that Pastor Rufus made. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely. I had that idea earlier. Good job. One mind. Bless y'all. Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah.
You know, we got this new group called Dads for Daughters, and a lot of the brethren on this group are really getting a true opportunity to see who they are as individuals. And a lot of times, as you go through this spiritual transformation, you get to really have your train wreck and see how jacked up of a man that you are. But one of the things I'm very, very excited about is I'm seeing a whole bunch of men finally see who they are spiritually. They're recognizing and realizing the hurts, the ills, the pains, the bitterness, the angers, the fears, all this stuff that has hindered them as being dads and hindered them as being brothers and hindered them as being husbands. They're starting to see it. But the best thing about it is they're starting to do something about it. I'm hearing incredible testimonies about how deliverance is going forward. And, man, because again, how can you repent for something when you don't really believe you've done anything wrong? You don't see the error in your ways. And now they're starting to be able to see the error in their ways as dads, errors in their ways as husbands, errors in their ways as brothers. Because you can be a simp as a dad or as a husband. And even as a dad, you can be a simp. You can be an enabler as a brother, an enabler as an uncle, an enabler as a father. You know what I mean? These are traits that women have gotten used to over the years in a lot of these men. And see, what we need now, it's for these women to make sure that they are matching these brothers spiritually. spiritually when they see this transformation starting to take place. See, women have a responsibility to be meek and quiet in spirit and humble and submissive and obedient. And those are the things that are attractive to a man. Those are the things that are supportive to a man. Those are the things that motivate and inspire men to do what they do. So you got a lot of men that are transitioning spiritually now. They're getting to a point. Remember how the disciples always talked about once you are fully converted, some of these men are finally getting on that road to where they're about to be fully converted spiritually. First that which is natural, then that which is spiritual. So now the women, they kind of have to be able to see that. And instead of matching all that positive, good spiritual energy that these men are having in their transition and their transformation to being truly new creatures, right? They don't need to get resistance. They don't need to get rebellion. They don't need to get the disobedience. They don't need kickback. You know what I mean? What they need is for their wives to see that stuff and start to support them in this thing and start to take away anything that could be hindering them from growing spiritually, stumbling blocks that have been laid along the line. And it's going to be uncomfortable for a lot of the women because they're used to being coddled and they're used to being enabled and they're used to being able to manipulate their men. But when a man moves from being a simp to being a king, he's not going to be manipulated. When a man stops enabling the women in his life, like the wives or the nieces or the daughters in his life, the women can't have a negative reaction to that and get mad because it's like, well, you know, he ain't doing the things that he used to do for me. No, because he's a man now and he's understanding these spiritual things that are going on. You know what I'm saying? So that's the type of things that the women have to show up and do. They have to show up and do these types of things for these men. Match them spiritually and support them. Support them by being obedient, submissive, meek and humble and quiet. And taking away any level of stumbling blocks that would hinder them. And then making sure they get the deliverance they need themselves. Making sure that they become vulnerable and expose themselves to Yah so they can get the deliverance and get healed. And they can be made whole just like their men are being made whole. The men don't need to get resistance from them or rebellion or disobedience. They need to get support. They need to get the love. Like he speaks about it in 1 Corinthians 13. That's what they need. They don't need to be reminded of who they were when they're nothing like it anymore. They might have been that man yesterday, but because they got that revelation now and it's been revealed to them, now they're different, and they need to be treated as such. Same way you would want if you truly repented in your heart. You don't want to be reminded of what was in the past, even if the past was yesterday. You don't want to be reminded of that because your mindset is different and you're moving forward. So we have to meet that with those same level of spiritual energy. Hope that makes sense. Shalom.